and welcome to a very special edition of A View from the Bridge, the Belfast Giants unofficial podcast. Here in A View from the Bridge, when we're here, we try to bring you the news and, well, indeed our views on the current Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. Now, you know me, my name's Patrick Smith, and Aaron's not with us, but in replace of Aaron, we've got a good friend of mine who, when he's not beating his drum, he's having a good fiddle. It's Connor Caldwell. How are you doing, Connor? Are you alright?
Not too bad, Patrick. Are you well?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Just chilling out with a beer in front of the baseball and, thought we'd do a pod. We thought we'd catch up and do a bit of a podcast. There hasn't been one in a while.
No, there certainly hasn't. It's been probably the biggest disgrace of the entire last season.
Well,
it wasn't the Giants' form, it was the lack of podcasting. There's really no excuse, you know.
I'd love to say it's backed by popular demand, but we've had one person say, where's the podcast?
Yeah, he's a very, very powerful person.
An influential gentleman, let's just leave it at that.
Very important community support officer.
What?
He knows who he is.
Well, it's been...
And he knows who you are, too.
Yeah, indeed. It's been an interesting off season. Of course, just backtracking a bit, that we had the Coventry Blaze win the league. We had the Sheffield Steelers win the playoffs. We had the Coventry Blaze win the challenge. No, hold on. No, the Coventry Blaze won the Knockout Cup. Is that right?
I think that's correct. Yeah.
And the Nottingham Panthers won the Challenge Cup.
Who?
The Nottingham Panthers. I haven't heard of them either. I think it just came out of nowhere. But now we're into the off season, which we all love so well, and there's been a major change at the Belfast Giants with regard to coaching.
That's correct. Yes, we've brought back your absolute favourite Giant ever, Steve Thornton.
Absolute legend.
As player coach, and we can remember a playoff she salivating as Killer sort of led him out towards the plexi. You know,
what a man.
And the great gag, of course, of Killer giving out Thornton's chocolates, which was, of course, straight over the forums as soon as it happened. I think the fans loved that.
Somebody actually texted me while I was in Nottingham, holding Big Paul just giving me some Thornton's chocolate. It was sitting there, and about 10 minutes later, I get this text from Belfast saying, apparently, fans are getting Thornton's chocolates in Nottingham. I've got it in my hand, and you know I'm here, so what the hell?
It was the most unsubtle hint ever, you know? Basically, put the coach's name on a piece of chocolate and give it to you.
Well, it's sad to see Ed Courtney go. He got a lot of grief in the last season. But in fairness, we did finish in the top half of the table, and I think he had quite a good record.
I thought he was superb for us, Patrick. I was certainly someone who tried to be one of his biggest defenders on the forums,
yeah.
Especially sort of through the bad patch at the start of the season. He came on under a lot of abuse for the whole taxi for Courtney saga, which was,
I think,
it was an indictment on the state of our fans' mental health, to be honest. a guy who'd steered us to a league title and to a second place finish, a close second place finish. And, under a bit of a dip, where maybe the recruitment wasn't as good in the last off-season as it has been previously.
Yeah.
And, I think generally Ed did a fantastic job. And apart from anything else, he's, as a player, certainly you could rate him as the greatest Giant on the ice.
I have to agree with you. I'm right there with you in regards to Courtney and... What he did for the Giants, you know, it's been his, you know, I thought his coaching was second to none, and you can't, you know, win a title. Everybody says the Theo factor. I say that's crap because we were top of the league when Theo arrived, you know.
Absolutely.
And then the second place finish. Well, you know, these people who moan about, you know, if you're not first, you're not anywhere, need to follow teams like Hull, you know, or Edinburgh, or, you know, Basingstoke, or, you know, teams that, you know, would love to be in the top half of the table, and they moan because, you know, oh, we're not doing that well. Rubbish. Anyway, but now Steve Thornton's in, and he's went right for the Brits in his signings.
Certainly has, yes. He's reeled off a spate of signings recently. The sort of the best one and most exciting one, as far as I'm concerned, is Colin Shields, who's come on leaps and bounds even from the great season he had with the Giants. You know,
yeah.
He had a brilliant season with Newcastle last year. He was really their go-to guy. You know, even in terms of the imports they had as well. You know, he had a great season for them. I think he got 71 points last season.
Yeah.
And that'll go some way to replacing Ed on the ice, you know. And it's certainly it's an upgrade from Moran or, you know, some of the other Brits we had last year. So
you'll find that, you know, having watched Colin Shields over here in Newcastle over the last season, you'll find that he's absolutely fantastic player. And like you say, he did end up being their go-to guy. Maybe unexpectedly. Maybe it was expected, but personally, I think it was quite unexpectedly. And when Todd Jackson appeared, he went from, you know, from okay to great, you know. And I think not just the signing of Colin Shields is great, but the signing of Colin Shields on a 2-year contract. Now that was both a surprise and a pleasant one at that.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great to have a bit of stability when it comes to some of the British players. We all know how difficult it is to sign. With the money that it costs to bring in, you know, the Weavers of this world and these sort of players. So it's fantastic to have Colin Shields here. And, you know, 2 years, you could find yourself very settled at the end of 2 years in Belfast.
Yeah.
A la Shane Johnson, a la Todd Kelman, you know. Jason Bowen, a lot of these people who've ended up staying. And maybe Shields is here for a bit longer than 2 years. So we'll just keep our fingers crossed about that one, you know. And of course, that he puts up the same sort of numbers that he did last year.
One signing that really got me, and really pleased me, in fact, because it shows, you know, a bit of forethought from Thornton. Not that I ever doubted Thornton's coaching, come on.
Of course, not when you were down on your knees worshipping him at the playoffs, you know.
Well, you know, it was the signing of young Dave Phillips from Hull. Now, this kid's good, you know. He's only 20. He's 21, and he's a big lad at 6'3". But he was a standout defenseman at Hull, and it'll be interesting to see if he'll fulfil his potential. Because no disrespect to Hull, but the coaching wasn't great, and maybe, you know, the players he was with weren't great, and whether he steps up now, being in what could be a lot better team, a lot better roster, and develop into the player that everybody's been saying he has the potential to be the next Jonathan Weaver, you know, which is a weight on the lad's shoulders, but it's a fantastic thing to say about him.
It certainly is, and he comes very, very highly rated. I know I didn't really know very much about him. I only saw Hull a couple of times this season, but having spoken to a few people and a few Hull fans, and they seem to. Well, they're obviously devastated to be losing a player of this caliber. I think as well for us, it's great that he was an assistant captain last season with Hull.
Yeah.
At the sort of the tender age that he is, you know, and he'll bring hopefully those leadership qualities to the Giants. It's certainly an exciting signing, and again, you know, a year or two down the line, a player like that might just get comfortable here, and we might get a couple of great seasons out of him. So we'll look forward to seeing him on the ice in a Giants shirt.
It'll be interesting to see who's paired up with on those lines, whether if he's there for, you know, if he's going to be stuck in at the deep end, or if it's just going to be an aid to his development, you know, and, you know, if we hold on to him at the end of the season, or are we farming him for Coventry, or are we farming him for Sheffield, or...
I certainly wouldn't consider us a farming team as such, you know. I think, I don't think we're the sort of selling team, you know, that... That sort of Hull or these other teams, unfortunately, have ended up being, you know. But of course, in terms of line mates, you know, it's a completely obvious thing to say. It's going to depend on what imports we sign. But, you know, I think he would do very well with a Trevor Johnson type, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll do well with whoever he's paired with, and under Thornton's watchful eye, I'm sure he'll progress greatly this season. So, I'm very much looking forward to seeing him out there.
Well, he could go a lot worse than being paired up with another one of the signs that we've retained is Shane Johnson, former Belfast Giants captain, and another good signing, another great signing,
a brilliant signing. Again, someone who's accustomed to the Giants' way of playing hockey. someone who the fans love. You know, he's a real fan favorite. And the quote you always, or the thing you always hear said about Shane Johnson is that he's just really annoying to play against.
Yeah.
And you would much rather have him on your own blue line than on somebody else's. You
absolutely.
Know? It was. I think a lot of Giants fans felt pretty bad over the sort of the last couple of seasons whenever we were going to places like Sheffield and away trips and seeing Shane Johnson line up for the other side.
Mm.
So you know, it's great to have him back here for one more year, and well, who knows after that?
But I remember seeing Shane Johnson play when he went to Slough, and he played for Slough for a part of the season in the EPL. And they played against the Sheffield Similars on, I think it was a game, because it was when Manchester had their great travelling roadshow and they were playing games at the Sheffield.
Yep.
And just before that game was the Similars game against Slough. And in what was basically like an ISL reunion game for a lot of the players who were, you know, you do Nicky Chins and your Pazzy Reitmans and, you know, all these, you know, Ron Shudra and, you know, all these players, you know, Les Milley and stuff. You know. Shane Johnson stood out as, you know, one of the best players on the ice. And, you know, that's something he obviously has thought, obviously it's been thought by Steve Thornton that he hasn't lost that. And maybe with a bit of a nudge as well, he's back on the roster.
Yeah, I think the great thing about Shane as well is that he's very much a two-way player, you know.
Yeah.
And that if we are struggling or we get injuries, you know, and maybe all we can find is a good defensive player available at that particular time, we can always move Jono up onto a forward line and bring in a defensive player, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so versatile and he always gives everything, you know. He's a real fan favorite, like I say, and it's great to have him back in Belfast again.
Paul Sample,
indeed.
That was a bit of a surprise.
I was very surprised at that myself. I didn't really see where that came from at all.
Yeah.
I think there was a bit, certainly for myself, there was a bit of initial disappointment that it wasn't Ashley Tate that we signed. Because that would have sort of, you'd have been confident of signing a couple of donkeys and still finishing pretty well this year, you know, with the calibre of the Brits we would have signed if it Tate, you know. Sample, I know he had a great season in his rookie year with Belfast 3 or 4 years ago. And he's been a little bit up and down since then. He didn't do so well with Sheffield the following year. But having spoken to a couple of Cardiff fans, they're very, very disappointed at losing him. And he did play some first-line hockey over the last couple of years with Cardiff.
Yeah, indeed.
And, you know, and I think as well he's had a letter on his jersey as well. I may be wrong in saying that, but something makes me think he was an assistant captain with Cardiff one of the seasons.
I can't remember.
Maybe someone can email us in and correct us on that. But, yeah, I mean, well, hopefully maybe with a bit of the familiarity of the Odyssey and the fans getting behind him, he can reproduce the sort of form he had before. So
yeah.
An upgrade on Paul Moran as well, you know, who I loved as a player, and I think the fans loved him in general, but
Dirty
certainly,
Panthers
fan. Yeah, of course. you know, he's going to put up more points than Moran, simple as that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the sign of the Sample is a clever one. I don't think he's going to be a shining light, but I think he's going to be a consistent point scorer.
Yeah,
and I think that's what we needed from when we were drilling down into the Brits that we got. We've picked up the shining Brits that we need, you know, with the likes of Colin Shields, and, you know, and we've got the prospects with Dave Phillips, and now we just need the guy who's going to put up the constant points, and I think that's Paul Sample.
Yeah, and of course then the two players we should have mentioned first and foremost, well, Graham Walton and Mark Morrison.
Yes,
back
indeed.
Again.
Indeed.
There was a lot of maybe fear, the discussion that Wally might get picked up again. There was more of that talk last season.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted to see him sign again. You know, he's a... I've said before, I think the club owes it to these sort of players, the guys who've dedicated, really, have given everything, even when the financial reward isn't there for them. They've given everything to the club and given up all the time to come and train. And you know, it has been a two-way... sort of mutually beneficial for both the players and the club, but I really want to see these players play for the Giants for as long as they want to.
Mm-hmm. I think I think you're right. I think, again, with, you know, with the worrying of whether Wally would return, I know that there was the case that whether he's really put himself in the spotlight with his GB appearances, and you've had Tomo coming out, you've had Rob Wilson coming out and speaking to him, you even had David Longstaff coming out and saying, you know, about how good a player he is, and, you know, it gave you maybe an indication that he was on the radar for a lot of the other teams, maybe, you know, maybe Coventry, maybe Sheffield, maybe Nottingham, you know, maybe even Newcastle. But the fact that he is now still back with us in Belfast, and, you know, it's a bit of stability. He's always, both he and Mo have always given, you can see they give their all for the team, and the team's better for it, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great to have a couple of players who you can be almost rest assured are going to be there to, you know, if not, maybe not build the team around, certainly to be a big part of it. And of course, you know, I keep sort of mentioning this fan favourites thing, but they certainly define fan favourites in Belfast, I think, you know.
Two more players on the left on the roster, both from the same country, and both in netminder roles, and that's Nathan Craze and Stevie Lyle.
That's right, yeah. It's great to see Nathan Craze back. I sound terribly enthusiastic about all these signings, you know.
it is weird, though. I know that, you know, I'm waiting for a bad signing so I can have a moan, you know.
Yeah, well, I suppose the thing about a lot of the signings we've made so far is that they're all known quantities, and we all know that they can cut
exactly.
it in this league.
I think so. I think there's been no real, you know, let's have a look at
Ryan Smith's.
Yeah, let's have a look at Hockey DB. Hold on a minute, he's 42 and he scored 2 points in the last month. You know,
yeah.
in the last two seasons, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
But no, I think, I know that Adam Cree is still on the Giants payroll or on the Giants roster. But he's sent out for development, and Nathan Craze has now come in as the backup netminder. A good one. He hasn't been in the IHL in about, what, 2-3 seasons now, since he was last with us.
Yeah.
Right? I know he went to Bracknell after he went with us, and then last season he had a bit of trouble with regards to, you know, position in France and then trying to play somewhere, and he got an EPL team, Romford. I could be wrong in saying that. I think it was Romford. And now he's back with the Giants.
In a way, it's a shame that he kind of lost last season a little bit, because he was coming off such a high with Bracknell the previous year, and the playoff win and all that kind of stuff, if I'm getting my years right.
Yeah.
I think that was great for him. In a funny way, too, with all the netminder trouble that Cardiff had last year, I was very, very surprised to not see him feature in some sort of consistent way there, considering he was sort of available, you know, and they, Cardiff really did go everywhere, you know. Davey Lawrence, Steve Phone, I think Steve Phone played for them, and a number of imports. So I was kind of surprised to see Craze not get a go there. So, but it's great to see him back here, and I'm sure that whatever happens, Craze is going to get, you know, a good number of starts. I'd imagine he'll probably get 5 to 10, and it's always difficult to guess these things, but, you know, it's 5 to 10 starts anyway.
Now, Fish, I remember when we first signed Stevie Lyle, you were dead against it. We've signed Stevie Lyle now. What's your opinion?
Well, it's certainly he helped turn our season around last year. He had a great sort of I was reading on the website there recently sort of quotes about him, you know, having really, we were winning games in our big winning streak. We were winning games by one goal here and two goals there.
Yep.
Games that Lyle was keeping us in single-handedly, you know.
Yep.
I've never been 100% confident in our goalies since back in the day, like, you know, and back in the ISL days. I'll certainly be confident in having Stevie Lyle back this year, and as well, having heard Adam Cree speak about him, you know, he's a great mentor as well,
yeah.
And he'll help help Nathan Craze come on a long way, and Adam as well. It's good to see Adam still involved. I think he'll do well, and it'll be very beneficial for him to be involved with the team, even from the training, even if he's not maybe ready to be close to, you know, any AHL regular for the next, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. But, you know, the training will benefit him, or be so beneficial to him. So,
well, that's it. It's all about the development, especially at his age. I think personally, my opinions of Lyle is that he gives us options. I can't really go much further than that because I don't think I ever saw him have an outstanding game. Now, I'm just saying this is from my own, what I'd seen of the Giants, you know. And I think he's a good netminder. I don't think he's a brilliant netminder, but he gives us a lot of options. And having a British netminder who is, you know, he's up there, but he gives us options of giving, you know, two full defensive lines and three full forward lines.
Yeah,
sorry,
and
am I calculating that right? Three full defensive lines, two full. No, sorry, that's right. Two full defensive lines
and two full forward lines.
And two full forward lines of imports. And with Stevie Lyle there, well, that's an option. I hope that you know, he proves me. I'm no doubt that he proved me wrong. Not that that my opinion means anything. I've no doubt, you know, I've been made the eight-meal words as I've done many times before. But like I say, I can't fault Steve Thornton.
Well, of course not. Not this early, anyway. You'll wait. We have a couple of losses before that. But
never.
What do you think, you know, in terms of how we've built the defence so far on the two British signings and the import signing that we've made defence, do you think that helps to cover Lyle? Or
I think that, you know, with Walton, of course, we know, and Johnson, we know, as being, you know, great D-men. Phillips has the potential to be right up there, and as a Brit, you know, I'd say, you know, Phillips and Walton gives us, you know, our two Brits. We can bring in three more imports and fill out the defence rightly. I think, you know, depending on the three, if he does bring in three more defensive imports, I'd like to see who they are, and, you know, give it a bit of time to see. I don't think, don't get me wrong, I don't think the defence needs to be rock solidly tight to defend against, you know, defend any mistakes that Lyle might make, not that he make any, you know. I just think that Lyle at times last season made my heart stop more often than, okay, not as much as maybe Phil DeRuval did, you know, that was awful. But Lyle, he's been good, but I hope he steps it up this season.
Well, I certainly hope so too. One other thing that I'm keen to very, very much to talk about is we've definitely not re-signed our favourite Soupy.
Indeed. This seems to be a thing that's going along, not just for us, but for across the league. With Peter, well, of course, sorry, but Peter Campbell, as you say, is off to Denmark. But so is Sean McAslin. And who was it from? One of the Coventry players as well. Is it Adam Calder?
Possibly, I have to admit, not following the other team's transactions as closely as perhaps I should have, but Calder certainly rings a bell for that.
They all seem to be heading off towards Denmark, where the money seems to have come. I know that the Danish teams have now gone in with the... it's not Calder. Trevor Koenig has gone definitely Koenig to Denmark. But I know that the Danish teams have now gone in with the football teams, and there's a lot more money floating about in that league. And unfortunately, it's taken away some of our league's upper imports with Alexi McAslin, Koenig, and our own Peter Campbell.
Absolutely. It's a shame. You know, Campbell had an absolutely superb season. 99 points last year. Mm. 85 with us, by my calculations. Unless my notes mean... it's 85 with us and 14 with Basingstoke. And, we've talked about Lyle helping to turn our season around, but, I mean, really the catalyst was Campbell coming in to replace Ryan Smith and sort of coming in at a time when Scott Cameron was suffering from injury, and he carried us for a stretch, you know.
Yeah.
His goals were invaluable, and his general work ethic as well.
He was a touch of class. Like, the amount of away games I went to this season up and down the country, and when Peter Campbell is with us, not one of the, you know, not speaking to the fans there of other teams, not one of them failed to say, you know, Peter Campbell, he's a touch of class. And you know, that's the thing. Very, very skillful player, very soft hands, and he was fantastic for us.
He certainly was. In terms of other players who have moved on then, Patrick, what about Roman Gavalier?
Yes,
retiring?
It is. Sad to see, you know, but you know, a fantastic servant to our club, especially when he came back after his season in Poland. he was great before that, and he was great when he came back. Of course, a KOTG MVP award winner. But we'll certainly wish him all the best, and I'm sure the Giants would welcome him back with open arms if he ever changed his mind.
Oh, I think so. Certainly a great servant to the club over the couple of years he was here. A solid defenceman, and you know, one of the kind of classic embodiments of the defenceman you don't notice.
Yeah.
Because he just never made a mistake. Great player.
Yeah.
He'll be missed. You know, he'd be difficult to replace. So hope that Stevie does the job there.
Yes.
Then the next player who were without. One of my favourites, although he went off the wall slightly after his injury, Scott Cameron.
Yes.
He had a great start to the season, and himself and Ed really hit it off on the ice. And then obviously he broke his foot or his ankle, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. I can't remember. I was drunk.
Shocking admissions on you from the bridge here. Scott was not quite the same afterwards, but... he would certainly be remembered fondly by the fans, I think, Patrick.
Like you say, he certainly went off the boil after his injury, which was unfortunate. I didn't want to think of him as a player, you know. You see, the thing is, when you're playing with Ed Courtney, it seems that Ed Courtney can bump up points, but I don't think that was the case with Cameron. I think Cameron was, you know, we saw the quantity that he had. I just think after his injury, it just didn't come together again for him, which was unfortunate. He was also stuck on a line with somebody else I didn't like, you know, I didn't read at all, but we'll not go into that.
Yeah, maybe best to leave that.
But, a talented musician, Fish?
Indeed, a very talented guitar player, as he was very privileged to play with me at a Giants event.
Was he now?
Yes, he was. Yeah. But I was in touch with Scott a few weeks ago, and he said it was a very difficult decision to hang up the skates, but a few too many injuries, I think, and he decided to make a break for it before anything serious happened, and he was going into a trade back at home.
Yeah.
So certainly wish him all the best from all at the podcast here.
Indeed, fair play. Best of luck. Yeah, it's been there've been quite a few comings and goings. Not with the Giants, but across the league as well. Like I say, there's these guys going to Denmark. I know there's been a fair bit of action in Sheffield, but they're waiting. I think all their fans are waiting on Tenterhooks to see what happens with Dan Tessier.
Absolutely. I'll certainly reserve judgment on this new Danish situation until we've seen how the boys get on for a few months. I mean, we've seen in the past so often players that have outstanding seasons in our league, and they go across to Europe and everything gets to them, and they're home. They're back in England after a few months. You know,
Tessier
for a prime example. Yep, all these players. It must be. It must be very difficult to go to a country where you don't speak the language for a start.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is the big attraction about coming to play in the league here.
Yeah.
That it's the other side of the world, but there's not that much different, you know. So I guess we'll wait to see how some of these players fare in Denmark. I'm sure hockey wise they'll be up with the best of them.
Yeah. I think so.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see one or two of these players available come Christmas time. So we'll
keep our ear to the ground.
Yeah, maybe leave a roster spot open, you know.
The one more issue just to quickly chat about before we wrap things up, Fish, is the Elite League in its wisdom decided to make a nice little addition and change to the rules of the league. Now, we know that the Elite League, you know, they're clever people down there. At EIHL Towers, and what they've decided, I say that sarcastically, but what they've decided is that basically in their wisdom they think that the top four teams, that being Nottingham, Sheffield, ourselves, and Coventry, are probably going to break any wage cap anyway, and therefore the bottom six, being Hull, Manchester, Newcastle, Basingstoke, Cardiff, and
come on,
Edinburgh.
Whoa. Very good.
I'm actually counting on my fingers there.
That's after six beers, guys.
It is. I don't know. It's just after one. Sadly. But they've decided that those six teams are allowed an extra import. So they're allowed the ice 10 imports. We're allowed the ice 9 because we're probably going to spend more money anyway. To me, that sounds pretty ridiculous.
It's a token gesture at best, in my own opinion. I mean, it's all right having an extra import slot, but all it really is going to end up meaning is that these teams are going to have to spread their wages even thinner, feeling obligated to fill this extra import slot, bringing in more players of a reduced quality now than, say, than being able to bring in their ordinary 10, you know, with a sort of spending a wee bit more on each player. It doesn't do anything to redress the imbalance that there is in the league. We all know that that there's four teams are going to finish ourselves, Nottingham, Sheffield and Coventry are going to finish up near the top of the table.
Well, and I'd be intrigued to see what does happen, or if there's anything unexpected, or if you could say it like that, with regards to the, you know, the extra import. Now, what if we get to the playoff final and you have ourselves against Newcastle, say, and they've 10 imports, we have 9, they picked up a top quality import late on as their 10th, and it's the 10 import team that beats the 9 import team. You know, it's, to me, it's like, you know, you can't have a level playing field if the rules are different for some teams rather than others.
I see where you're coming from there, but I think with the caliber of Brits that we've picked up this year, you know, we don't need to worry so much as in previous years about what imports we bring in. So from that point of view, I wouldn't be worried about facing a Newcastle or a Hull in a playoff game. Certainly, I think at some stage in the season, it's going to cost the bigger teams points. You know, when the games come thick and fast, and you know, some of these some of the smaller teams maybe have that extra import who's a bit fresher, has a bit more experience. But yeah. You know,
but if don't mean to cut you off, but right. my other thing is, if you look at it, it was Newcastle who beat us going into the playoffs. So were a team like Newcastle really that handicapped by the fact that maybe Belfast were spending more money? So the fact, I don't mean to say, do they deserve, in particular, do Newcastle deserve an extra import slot? What I'm saying is that, you know, these things sometimes have a habit of working themselves out.
Certainly, well, of all the other remaining six teams, you know, apart from the sort of top four, inverted commas, I was surprised to see Newcastle grouped with the other six.
Yeah.
Seeing as, you know, they're an arena team as such, they draw fairly healthy crowds. And that they've been competitive over the last, you know, since their introduction to the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a little bit surprising to see them grouped there. And Newcastle always get a strong side out there, you know, and they have a great coach and, you know, a good setup in general. But, you know, we'll try it out for a year and see what happens. You know, I don't think it's going to make that much. It's not going to make Edinburgh, you know, all of a sudden a top four side. Yeah. You know, just by having that extra import.
Yeah.
And like I say, you know, I think it's going to tempt these lower budget teams to spend outside their limits maybe a wee bit more. It could end up maybe being a bad thing for them rather than something to level out the playing field. So.
Well, we'll see how it turns out. We'll see how it turns out. It'll be interesting to see as the season goes on. But I think that's about it from us, mate.
I wanted to talk about. Certainly the biggest off-season news, or the most exciting thing happening this off-season so far, was the weigh-in between you and Jimmy Squeaker. I just wanted to know how that's going.
I was at the gym today. Me and Squeaker decided we'd have a losing weight competition, considering that my beer intake was getting a bit much. Cheers, by the way.
This is what the sports fans are subjected to during the summer months, maybe when there's no soccer, no ice hockey about.
No, that's it.
We have to find some way for to introduce a competitive edge to our lives. So, this is what the guys have come up with.
Well, it's not. I have to say, it's not going too badly for myself. I've been pretty regular to the gym, and you know, the Pudge is disappearing slowly but surely. It's not helped by the Mars bars, like.
Well, I was going to say the post-playoff pledge of giving up beer and only drinking Jack Daniels doesn't seem to have lasted very long.
Well, it did actually start off going well, but I've just finished a bottle of Jack Daniels and I don't want to pay 20 quid on another one when there's cheap beer at Asda, you know?
Well, you could just drink tea like the rest of us.
I hear your tea total. But yes, that's my off-season pledge to reach the new season with at least about 2 stone off. I hear Squeaker's trying to do it, but he can't avoid the pies. He's a fat man.
Well, I saw Jimmy at the weekend, and 2 beers, and he was anybody's. You know, he's lost all his ability to cope. So we'll have to see now.
The pressure's getting to him. He can't hack it.
Well, we'll see now. You might end up eating your words. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody has any suggestions how to help Patrick lose weight that are legal, if you want to email them in to the podcast address, which is...
podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Do you not know that, Fish? Come on.
I was just trying to make it look professional here, like we're on the same page, you know?
Set it up. But yes, indeed, and if you have any other comments or suggestions for the podcast, then we'd be delighted to hear them. Again, that's podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. How'd you find your first one then, Fish? It's always sore the first time.
What? Oh.
Podcast? What do you think I'm talking about?
I have absolutely no idea. You know, you're very gentle, Patrick, so you kind of helped me through it.
Yes.
And, you know... It must run in the family, but this is so not making it onto the final cut.
Oh no, it is the. But thanks for coming on, Fish, and we'll do another one before the season begins, maybe in a couple of weeks or so.
We'll
get back into the way of it.
The big target for the summer now should be to displace Fighting Talk as the world's number one podcast. So get downloading, guys.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us, mate, and we'll see you next time here at A View from the Bridge. Bye.
Bye.